Welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast, a podcast by a bunch of people with too many board games. Today I am Tom, and I am joined with,
You're joined by Justin.
Debbie.
And Adam.
We screwed up the order today, so everybody's confused.
We're trying to keep everyone on their toes.
Yeah, you gotta mix things up a little. Keep things exciting.
Surprise!
Yeah, so imagine that we've all switched places in whatever you're imagining this looks like, because that's what happened.
And it's not good, because I'm a slight perfectionist, and it kind of makes my eyeballs twitch a little bit.
You mispronounced OCD, is what you, did.
Yeah, a perfectionist doesn't. A perfectionist would not matter what order people are sitting in.
It hurt my feelings.
Are you still playing on your phone? Or
no, I have a picture of the back of the box.
For Conan.
Conan? By Monolith Games?
The very same.
The one that plays for 2 to 5 players in 90 minutes? That's about right.
Unless you play it wrong.
Yeah. If you play it wrong, it can be over in about 10.
So. Which we've done at least twice now.
Yeah. Except the first time, I don't think it took us 10 minutes. I think it took us a lot longer than that when it was just the three of us. Yeah, that one, I think we tried to fight back a lot, Tom. We did our damnedest.
Yeah, we've tried this one a couple times in the past, and due to a bit of a rules mess up, didn't quite turn out how the designers intended, the heroes getting absolutely run over.
Yeah, that was my fault.
I wasn't going to bring it up this time.
All my fault.
It was totally Justin's fault.
That's why you never rely strictly on memory to remember all the rules from a game like this.
It's almost like they compiled the rules and put them into like a set of pages and bound them together. You'd almost call it a book.
A book of rules?
A book of rules.
Who has time to read a book of rules?
This game comes with 2 rule books, but I think we've gotten ahead of ourselves and we need to read some back-to-the-box promotional material first.
All right, guys. Enter the realm of Hyboria and fight alongside Conan. Relive the Cimmerian's great adventures with 8 unique scenarios that take you across all of Hyboria. From hearth-lit taverns to shark-infested waters. From picked villagers. Oh, villages. My goodness. This is not a good word.
Do we need a redo on this one?
Yeah, somebody else is going to read this, not me.
Marker!
Let's take this one again.
I was kind of not paying attention. Did you actually say Bosnia? No.
She was about to, but she broke into laughter.
Enter the realm of Hyboria and fight alongside Conan. Relive the Cimmerian's greatest adventures with 8 unique scenarios that take you all across Hyboria from hearth-lit taverns to shark-infested waters. Picked villages to Bosonian strongholds. You get to witness Conan's defining moments firsthand. Joining the iconic barbarian are Shevatas, the master thief, Hadrathis, the priest of Asura, and Belit, the queen of the Black Coast.
That was me.
One player among you is the Overlord, who commands the forces of darkness and opposes the heroes at every turn. At his disposal are ferocious beasts, demons of the outer dark, evil necromancers, and the notorious Zogar Sog, with hordes of picked warriors. The Overlord holds the advantage unless the heroes work together, and only the craftiest side will emerge victorious. Now you can create your own Hyborian legend.
Huzzah!
Okay, so the first thing that I need to say is I actually didn't realize that there was only 8 scenarios.
There are, yes, only 8 in the original release.
Oof, that might change my review a little bit.
They have released free scenarios online on their website, and they've also released a books with more campaigns as well.
Okay.
But those are, yes, extra items.
Add-ons.
Add-ons, yeah. Is there are tons of tokens in the box that are not used by the base scenario. So they kind of future-proofed it so that they could alter the maps with the tokens with further releases.
Yeah, because 8's not very much.
Well, yeah. I mean, on the same coin, the Mansions of Madness, which we reviewed the other day, was
12, wasn't it?
I think the initial release had 8.
Oh, okay.
But then with each expansion, they add an extra 2.
Right.
So the one we played, I did have some of the expansions already. So there were more to choose from.
Interesting.
It's a fair criticism, especially with something like this.
Any game where you're talking about scenarios, I mean, it always feels restricted, I guess. But then at the same time, depending on how tech savvy you are and how, like, you know, out there you try and let yourself go, like the Board Game Geek website, lots of people create their own scenarios.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of fan-made scenarios for this, too.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, I think that, again, it really, you're only limited by how...
You're limited by your imagination, Adam.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
I just think, like, you're limited by the amount of willingness you have or not have to go out there and try and track down some other user-created stuff.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But the question that I really have here is, how does it play? Like, what do you have to do? Like, how does this game work? How does this game work?
Well, who wants to take this one?
So you got yourself one asshole who is playing the Overlord, and they will be in control.
Straight up.
They'll be in control of the bad guys, and you get there's like two rule books, and one of the rule books has scenarios in it. Is that right?
Yeah, scenarios and rules for the Overlord.
Right. So if you've ever played a game like Descent or Imperial Assault, this will be relatively familiar because it's a one versus many type of thing. So the Overlord is on their own team, and they get their own book where they set up the scenario. They have special rules for a bunch of stuff. That rule book will dictate how many dudes they get, what kind of dudes they get, whether some of the dudes are not dudes, and spells and all the stuff that you need to set up your little murder fest.
Yeah, kind of all the scenario rules, because they can change.
Yeah, and so they set that thing up, and they've got this sweet-looking board, and they put all their dudes on it, and they're responsible for controlling the actions of the enemies. And then on the flip side, you have the heroes who you get to pick out of a pool of four heroes in the base game, where you got, as we said, or as mentioned in the back of the box blurb or whatever, you got Belit, Conan, Hadreus, and
Shevatos.
And the best is
Conan?
Shit. Belit, damn it.
Oh, right. Yeah, so
Belit's name is not on the cover of this board game.
You read Belit.
I know, but it's not on the front.
Like, yeah, but she's the naked one, man.
She was on the back of the box, though. Mentioned prominently.
She was mentioned prominently on the back of the box, but the game...
A queen, don't you know?
The game is not called Belit. That is what I'm trying to get here.
Yeah, the game of Belit would be one person just getting all their minions killed. So anyway, you pick out of those four, and usually the rule book will suggest, like, hey, you should take these three. Like, if you're playing with fewer than the maximum number of players, it'll say, use these three characters instead of this other guy, because all the scenarios are different. So, like, I think in the scenario with the boat, it's like the one guy just has no ability to leap, which is kind of important for jumping across ships. Mm-hmm. So yes. He was kind of like, you probably shouldn't use him. Yeah, so the heroes have their characters, and the Overlord has their, like, crazy board where they're doing stuff. And I'm going to try to describe this as succinctly as possible, because there's a lot of shit going on. But basically, the heroes take their turn, and they have a bunch of player mats with gems on them, and the gems represent their how many actions they can take, and you move those gems onto various actions on your board, and then you can, like, the heroes all go, sort of, they do their turn however kind they want.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, well, not simultaneously, like, you will, like, you'll do one thing, and then I can do one thing, and then you can do another thing. Like, there's no order to it. It's not like you go like left to right or anything like that. You just do it in whatever way makes the most sense to achieve your goal. And then at the end of that round, you move all the gems that you spent on actions into the second zone, which is like the fatigue zone, and then pass the turn to the overlord, who gets their gems that they can do stuff, and they activate dudes and move people around and throw shit at you and send out reinforcements and cast spells, and you go back and forth until you fulfill the scenario.
Or you get your face handed to you.
Yeah, the one interesting thing, like the gems are what really drive the game, what make it really interesting, is you have basically these three zones. You have the green, the red, and the black. And when you spend your action to do stuff, you can put like almost as many gems as you want on a thing to make it more effective. So you can sort of go in to attack somebody and you can just like put all five of the gems that you could possibly spend on there and then just roll a shit ton of dice in order to try to murder somebody.
Really do some damage.
Just kill it as fast as possible.
It's interesting. I find it interesting that they've used the gems are almost kind of dual purpose. They also have the life. They're your health points as well. So not only does it give you your, you know, like your ability to actually do actions and it's dictated by that, but those gems are also kind of how you lose your life, right?
And once you've used them on the actions, they go to the red zone. And when they're in the red zone, they can't be used for things like guarding on the opponent's turn. And if you take damage, they go from your red or your green zone into the black zone. You never get them back. So, and once they're gone, they're gone. So,
unless you get a life potion.
Unless someone hucks a life potion at you.
Yeah, so there is the potential.
Catch it heroically.
Yeah, the other thing that's really interesting about this game, which is a little frustrating too, is that there's like a shitload of skills you can do. So there's one ability called manipulation, and I'm doing air quotes that you can't see. which is like, I don't know, do one of four different things, which is like open a chest or chuck a potion at somebody. And all of these things have like, one of my quibbles is like, all of these things have like different rules to them. So when you chuck a potion, you need to like, or chuck an item, you need to roll a die to see how far you can chuck it. And then the other person has to spend a thing to be able to catch the item. And it's just like, all right, guys. But it's kind of cool because I was in very dire straits at one point and like Justin opened up a treasure chest with a life potion, like hucked it at me, and I would have been able to chug it down. Or I guess this might have, that almost happened. It did happen for Belit, being played by Debbie, because she was about to die from arrow overexposure. And
that's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. She ended up like just chugging two potions that, Shevatos hucked at her.
You know what I find really interesting though, before you keep going, I'm only bringing this up because I'm going to forget later. I find it really interesting that when you huck an item, you have to do some work to see how far you can throw it. But if it was my weapon, I can throw it as far as I bloody well want.
For ranged attacks, yeah.
Like I had a spear, and I mean, a spear is not exactly a ranged weapon, but it's like, sure, you can go ahead and throw it. And we were on, like, there's two different pirate ships. I'm on one far side, and it's like, yeah, you know, like, just roll your dice and you're gonna throw it at that guy on the complete opposite side on the other ship. And there was no question. Like, you don't have to roll a dice to see how far you can throw it. No, you just roll a dice to see how much damage he takes. I find that just really interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, there's almost too much to explain in one go, because like, again, the rule book is a bit of a hot mess, and you basically need these, like, Justin brought over fucking laminated reference cards.
Reference cards are super handy, but
still didn't answer all the questions we ended up having. Like, we fucked up game two because like it wasn't super clear what some of the abilities that the overlord had over.
Yeah, so, it did not clearly define monsters and units and what is what.
Yeah, so there's a lot of bits going into this game, but the long story short is, like, on your turn, you can move, and then you can spend all your gems to do stuff and, like, murder things and roll a ton of dice that have axes on them, and some people are better at fighting than others. Conan is the best at fighting.
He's the best at fighting.
Name on the front of the box.
Yeah, I think I killed like 27 people in that first game.
That's Conan's murder. Job. He barbarians.
He can also crash through walls, which I was super mad that I did not get to do that.
But yeah, because we got to do that in the first one, right? Where they had the little huts. Yeah,
the picked village.
Yeah, you just get to bust through walls. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's not much else that I can really explain because there's almost too much to explain. I could go into how the Overlord stuff works because it's pretty cool. But it's probably, if you're interested in this, you should probably just go look it up yourself because it's super complicated to try to explain because there's a board and it looks like a little, almost like a little DJ set. You move tiles back and forth.
Oh yeah. The Overlord board.
Yeah. So
it's quite nice.
It's pretty cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like a sweet murder DJ.
Yeah. As Justin pretends to be a DJ.
Very accurately, I must say.
I think everyone could hear that, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't really have anything else to present on.
I guess.
Did I miss anything?
The only thing, other things I would point out is that it is a miniature game, like heavy into the miniatures. Like everything has.
I was going to say miniature, man. That box is
a plastic little dude. Plastic
rather large.
Yeah. It is a large box, and it comes with two double sided boards for the different scenarios.
Oh yeah. So I guess, yeah. Okay. I got that. I was like, what? So there must be two pirate ship.
There's one pirate ship on the backside was the castle that we did.
Yeah.
And then there's also a tavern and then there's the picked village.
Right. Okay. So there must be two scenarios for each.
Yeah. I think that's right.
That seems to make sense to me. And the boards aren't small either. Like we're not talking like a small amount of real estate on your table.
Oh no!
Like they're fairly large boards,
but they're not obnoxiously large. No, like they're not ridiculously large.
A nice level of detail to them.
I think if they were any larger, I think that it would have been too difficult because it would be too hard to get your player mat in front of you with your items, with your gems and stuff, plus having the board in front of you
with a regulation size table.
Yeah, I think that would be.
Regulation size table.
I don't know what a regulation
standard table is. I was wondering if anyone was going to comment on that.
I usually just keep going and just
Debbie just ignored it. So yeah,
I just keep going and hope for the best because, good God.
One thing I do like about it, and speaking of the boards, this is very specific to the boards. Is I like that it's not squares, it's not hexes. Mm. They're kind of free form.
The way the spaces are laid out is like around the mast is one space, and then you've got like a space in the middle of the ship, and then there's another space for the mast. Like it's not grids, it's not like hex based or anything like that. It's not like they just took a picture of some shit someone made up and then like slapped a grid on it.
Which is very typical of like Zombicide.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that do that.
And Descent, so things like that. Like So any of your dungeon crawlers, I think, are very typically grid based,
right?
And I think that's also because a lot of the dungeon crawlers or like Imperial Slaughter Descent, a lot of that also involves unit blocking, where you're putting a unit on a hex so the heroes can't run by. Whereas this, like, you can just, you know, if you got buddies to help you out, you could just run through as many dudes as you want.
And like crazy line of sight rules for spawning monsters and stuff, which all of this, like, this game does not as complicated and as fiddly as some of it is, like, it doesn't do that, where it's just like, because this is a scenario, just like, here's where the guys come out, and when the Overlord needs more people, that's just where they pop out, right? Because in Descent, there's like this thing where you can spawn people from around corners and stuff, and so the heroes are always like trying to position themselves so they have line of sight to everything, like some kind of fucking SWAT team.
You gotta watch your corners.
That's it.
You know, watch your doors and corners. That's where they get you.
There's one thing that I think that I, and this might be coming from the side of, so I, for one, never played the Overlord. It's personality-wise, I don't know that I could play the Overlord. I will get into that at one point, but I mean, I think that that's a downside to this type of game, but we'll go there in a minute. There's a game called Village Attacks. It's a much more recent game.
Grimlord Games.
Yeah. I think that there is something that they do in theirs that almost, I feel like, would almost advantage in this game, and that's coming from the player side, is in Village Attacks, if you have no more room in that square, like in that space, no more monsters can get in there, remember? So remember when we were playing it, it was like there was only so many bases actually fit within those boundaries.
Oh, yeah, and you can no longer do that.
Whereas in this one, there's nothing that's stopping you from
piling everything into one spot.
That's true. Generally, I find there aren't as many miniatures. Like, there aren't generally isn't enough stuff on the board to fill up one of the tiles. On occasion, that can be different. Like, some of the tiles can be quite small. And I don't know, I've never run into that issue in this one. I've definitely run into that issue in Zombicide, where they're just... You have like a small mountain, or you need like some sort of like triple stack tray on each tile because of just the number of zombies that can be there.
But even in this one, when we were playing the pirate one, right, and you were kind of bringing them up out of those two little spaces, right? I honestly can tell you, I have no idea which bases were in which square, and that's because they just kind of. Right, you only had so much space, and it kind of all melded together into like a blob.
Yeah, and it was kind of covering. I was doing it so the small tile would only ever have two guys on it,
okay,
and then the rest would come up in the larger tile, just so I didn't run into that spillage issue.
Yeah,
but that's more me doing it than I actually don't think the rules point that out.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that I mean, that's, it's not very often that I really will pick something out of one of these, like this type of game, that I'll be like, somebody else does this, and I think that's a really cool additive.
Yeah.
But when we played Village Attacks, I remember Adam and I having a discussion about it at one point where we were like, you know what? That's actually like, that's a really smart thing to do.
And I think that's a problem with a lot of miniatures games is a lot of, I think the designers don't account for how much space all this plastic can take up on your board. Whereas if you think about like older games where you're dealing with lots of units, maybe you'll just have one unit and a bunch of tokens underneath. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that. But
in a sense, though, it's a good thing on the other side, too, though, right? Because there's a point where it gets to where having too much in one square just becomes kind of like it's that overflow, and it just takes over the game, right? You can only fight so much. Mm-hmm. And so by having those bases be a certain size and only being able to fit X number in there, it also kind of gives you a little bit of a leeway to say, hey, we realize that it's going to be really hard for Conan to go and stand in this square and fight 27
Conan always
things
fits.
All at once. Like, it's not going to happen, right?
There won't be 20 for long.
Whirlwind attack.
6 feet under. It's just, I don't know, it's just something that I never really thought about until we started talking about it. And I think it's something that games like this advantage from.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because it's definitely something I've run into in many miniatures games.
And I think that's the only game I've ever seen. I've never seen any other game that does that. Have you guys?
None that come to the top of my head.
Not that it specifically points that out in the rules.
Yeah, it's super interesting, but I don't know. The other thing that I loved about this game is the drink, and so that was just...
The which?
The drink.
The life potion?
No, having to jump from one boat to the other, and if you didn't make it, you end up in the drink.
Yeah, I lost many pirates that way. Because
each of the games, each of the scenarios has like its own rules. So like in the one, you could leap across, but if you... From ship to ship, and if you fucked it up, like if you were a hero, it was okay. Or if you were one of the big bad guys, you weren't just like immediately falling into the ocean. But if you weren't, you just like minions just got eaten by sharks. And in the other, in the castle one, there was some rubble left lying around going up into the walls. And like some people could climb it really well. If you have the climb ability, you just like dash up it. If you don't, then you can't quite make it. And you could jump off from the walls.
Yeah, you could jump off the parapets onto the ground.
Yeah, and if you had leap, then you wouldn't take as much damage. But if you didn't, then you're having a real rough time.
Yeah, if you didn't know how to, you know, you didn't have some acrobatic skills, you were just kind of tumbling off a 20-foot wall.
I think a big component of this game is dice roller, right? I mean, you could definitely see, and I mean, I don't know that it hindered this game as much as some other games that I've played. Like, it doesn't bother me nearly as much in this one, but it definitely, it's that if you're not rolling well, you're getting eaten in the face. I mean, Tom at one point I thought he was going to start throwing dice across the room.
I was very sad.
I guess from my point of view and my opinion of just games that rely on dice to a moderate or heavy amount, they just don't do it for me. Like it's
gotta have a little chance to keep things exciting.
No, I get that, but like
get that gambler's edge.
But I
Adam doesn't have a gambler in him.
It's exciting.
It is. I mean, it is kind of exciting, but I mean, it's like I'd rather be. I don't know. Like I said, like dice games in general, they create situations where again, if you don't roll properly, like we had, again, going back to the pirate ship scenario that we played, we had three guards and myself that were like scrapping it out with one pirate.
Man, he was a hero. He was a hero.
Probably four or five turns. I'd say it's probably four turns that we were sitting there, you know, fiddling around with Buddy so that we can.
But you now know. You have a fun story to tell about how Conan fought off 16 guys while you and three guards couldn't deal with one pirate.
Yeah, that's single that's a pirate was just holding them off.
It's hilarious.
That's one I intend on telling my grandchildren for sure.
Oh, wow. We're going to have grandchildren?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is there something I need to know?
Yes.
Yes, Adam's pregnant.
Another thing that I found confusing in general. Well, I mean, there was a lot of things that I felt just kind of got confusing just for the sake of being confusing. You know, the endless list of skills and that sort of stuff. Which I mean, again, small gripes. One thing that I felt was important to the game, but quite confusing was the way that the spells were, especially like from an overlord point of view, where it's like, okay. So we kind of determined that, you know, you have to activate the character. So you have to, you know, invest in activating the character. Then you have to invest in activating the spell, and then things carried on from there. Now, I mean, it all made sense in the end,
yeah.
But it's just not as there as every other aspect of combat.
Yeah, that is one thing I'll definitely say about the rule book is it's not super clear on certain things.
You know how I feel about rule books.
Oh, I do. And I know they have released three versions of the rule book. Depending on when you got it, to clarify a lot of these items, but a lot of things slip through the crack.
If it takes you three releases to get something straight.
And there's still things that slip through the cracks. I mean,
That can always happen. I mean, I mean, a lot of games, especially competitive games, have, you know, a FAQ every month to clarify things.
That would be an FAQ.
Yes, an FAQ.
Yeah.
Frequently asked questions for those who don't know.
It took me, I honestly knew you guys for probably two, three years before I actually understood. I heard people say FAQ and I was like, the hell are they talking about?
FAQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it took me.
Now we've clarified that. We should have added that to the commonly used terms.
Yes. Kudos to Monolith Games though for actually releasing multiple rule books, because I mean, a lot of companies will just put a rule book out, it'll be an absolute tire fire, and they'll be like, yep, this is us, see you later, ship it, you know, and they'll never update a damn thing, and then, you know, like people will have to come at onto the forums, onto the Board Game Geek forums and the Reddit forums and all that sort of stuff to make these corrections that just should have been made.
And a lot of the times, if it's from a forum, a lot of it is this person's or the group's opinion. It's kind of groupthink.
Yeah, it's definitely hive-minded. It's sort of, you know, this collective of like, how does the group or how does the general hive mind interpret this rule? Because, again, the developer just didn't bother
ever responding.
Yeah, responding or clarifying or whatever. At the end of the day, I mean, this game, I think, is interesting. I think people who are fans of the... Would you say that
the
people
who are... The Hyborian Realms?
Yeah, like people who are Conan fans, I think, will get quite a bit out of this game.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing with the mechanics of it, rather than the straight-up dungeon crawler, is with the gems, you can just be Conan, destroyer of worlds for a turn and just run in and, you know, slaughter 15 guys. You're going to be, you know, all tuckered out afterwards, but it you have that option at all times.
I feel like guys that are like that don't get tuckered out.
Well, you need a little bit of a nappy poo.
Yeah. Yeah. You just need a breather.
So Tom, before you give us your two cents, if I may, I'm going to bring up probably what is going to come up with the groans that are going to come with this.
But I think it's something that
has to be brought up. I want to call it an elephant in the room, except for the fact that I really don't think that you guys are thinking about it. I think it's just more probably myself. So typically I am not one that will go after games, and I'll go after really much of anything to be like, I don't know, almost feminist to be like, oh, I don't know what you're, you know, like, I don't like how you portray women or you don't, whatever. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. So part of me wants to say kudos to Monolith for just doing it. And part of me wants to be like, man, maybe not so like right there.
Right in the front of things. Yeah.
So, on the front of one of the manuals.
The player manual.
Yeah, the player manual. So I believe somebody said that this actually got changed. But on the front of one of the manuals, you literally have a, I'm willwilling to say like 85 to 90% naked woman laying like on a rock in distress. And Conan's behind her. For Conan
to save her.
And it's, you know, part of me wants to be like, hey, seriously, like, come on. But the other side of me is like, you know what? For what it is, I mean, at least they're not trying to be like super tongue in cheek about it. I mean, part of me wants to be like, well, they're going after a very specific theme and a very specific genre, and a part of that is this. So I'm on the fence about it. I don't really like it. I'm not a super big fan of it. But with that, I don't know that they're. I think that it is a very big piece of the theme, and so I don't know that they're really like. Going out there to be like, this is what women are and this is what women do and blah, blah, blah. But I think that it's a fine line. Like, I think that they're towing that line.
Definitely. And I mean, that I think can come up with a lot of sort of these older IPs, intellectual properties, that kind of came from a different time. Yeah. the same thing I believe we kind of mentioned briefly with anything from the H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu mythos, where all the characters are white males with a couple women.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fantasy Flight has kind of put in other ethnicities.
What?
Ethnicities.
Thank you. I've been told I have a problem with pronunciation on some things. But, and I mean, even Monolith has changed aspects from the original source material.
Yeah.
Like, they have made the Picts more kind of like Neanderthal troglodytes, whereas in the source material, they're more kind of native people of the land, so almost Native American. And all the kind of dark necromancers all come from the kind of Asia region.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, you know, if you want to, you know, read into it, you know, kind of, I don't think that's the fault of Monolith Games. That's more of a fault of the source material.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that they've done a relatively good job of kind of getting away from it. I just found it like, that's, it's very you just have in a
little,
your face.
Little sexism in there.
It's like,
I mean, even Belit is wearing five nothing. Coins.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think what they could have done to assuage a lot of these things is just show some cock. Just show some cock. Like,
just make equal opportunity.
And I'm not saying it because to me, it's not a huge deal, right? Tom and I had this conversation where we were laughing about the fact that there should be some dick pics. I mean, come on. I deserve to see some of that too.
Man, your email is about to explode. You are open to
watch.
Please do
watch
not
your phrasing on those. Yeah.
Sorry.
In the game?
In the game.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where they haven't tried to really cover it up. And part of me is like, kudos to them for just taking a stand and being like, this is what it is. Yeah. Part of me is like, you know, there are people that are, I guarantee will not play this game and will not go into this and support this because of that. And I mean, read into that whatever you want. To me, fine, whatever. But, you know, there is that line there, and I think that is something that we should just
It's definitely something to be pointed out.
I mean, you don't want to flaunt this in front of your parents.
Yeah, you don't want to buy this for maybe your 8-year-old or something, and then
you look at the rule book and you're like, oh god.
Hello.
Well, I was not expecting that when I opened this bad boy up.
And before we started recording, Justin literally took my little Belit miniature out and gave it to me. So that I could look at it while we're recording.
Yeah, just in case you wanted to point things out.
But she has the ability to actually, like, do damage. Like, she does. It's not like she's a complete useless.
Oh, no, yeah. And she is commanding her troops that she brings with her. She's
pretty ruthless, if you think about it. Like, these people are just commanding them to their death
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not very good, take my word for it.
Yeah, I had a pretty good time with this. I think the system is really solid. I don't really have much else to say than that. Other than that, is like, you know, it's pretty fun to be able to run around and just like wreak havoc on some poor pirates just mm-hmm. trying to do their job, you know, just out there working for the man. And then Conan comes like barrel assing his way, like leaps over this divide and just starts murdering people. It's a lot of fun. I think rolling dice is generally super exciting. Sometimes you get totally fucked.
Oh, yeah,
it sucks. Sometimes you just like absolutely crush it and it's great. There's always that little bit of suspense. One of the things that I feel like I miss from playing something like Descent or Imperial Assault is being able to upgrade your character and like tailoring your guy. So Conan, you go into the scenario and there's items and stuff, but the items aren't decided by you as the player. They're decided by the scenario.
Yeah.
So there's only like three items or three potions or something, and there's like a javelin or whatever. And like Conan has his ability where if he's carrying a two-handed weapon, he can just like whirlwind his way through the whole place. And just like every time he does more damage than is necessary, he just adds that to some other guy. And I so wanted that. And it choked me to no end that I could not get that in any of these scenarios. And it just reminded me of
the
how two much,
that we played. Yeah.
Yeah. In Descent, like you go to the shop, you buy a thing, you get an upgrade, and then you can just become this like broken as fuck character running around machine gunning people, which is super cool. And that's one thing that I do miss from a game like that or Imperial Assault. Like this is scenario after scenario, which definitely has its
place. They're kind of one-off scenarios rather than sort of Imperial Assault or Descent's campaign style.
Yeah, so I don't think Descent has the campaign by default unless they added that in the new edition. Because I played Descent First Edition quite a bit, but they added that campaign stuff in. But I really like this style of game, although it. Like one thing that bears mentioning is if you don't have a group of people where one person is willing to feel sort of picked on the whole time, it's going to kind of suck for them. Maybe avoid this because you basically have like four people sitting around fucking high-fiving each other while you get shit on the whole time. Like you can, you get to mete out some pretty big disasters on people, but there always is that feeling of like people shitting on you quite a bit. Because they're talking and they're having all the fun and you're having fun, but it's all by yourself. You're all alone. You're all alone and having the fun. So that does bear mentioning as well, is that I have heard and I've felt it before, like the person playing the Overlord, sometimes they don't get the camaraderie, right? Because there is like three or four people staring you down, basically plotting your demise the whole time. So that is something that can play into it. That being said, I really like the system. The gems and the fatigue and everything is really cool. And I think it's definitely something to keep an eye on for like building games out of, because I think it works really well. I just miss kind of the
like progression.
Yeah. I feel like what I like about some of these games, you start off as some like piddly lump of nothing, and then you sort of build yourself up to being this crazy monster that can go running around. Whereas Conan just starts off.
Yeah, you kind of start off as. So I guess it's a level 20.
Yeah, it's kind of like starting off with the cheat codes because he can just do some really crazy shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah, no, like to be able to go from like even to be able to have the ability to choose a route. Do you know what I mean? Like to say,
Route?
Yeah, like just to be able to say, you know, I kind of want to build myself maybe a little tankier.
Like a skill set or having different skill trees that you can
go
down?
To be able to just choose between being offensive or defensive, really, and like having the choice to do that so people can play that character more than one way, whereas this is very one note.
Yeah, and I think for some things, I think it makes sense with this where, you know, you wouldn't really play Conan as your healer defense. Like, that's kind of his thing, is to run and kill people.
Yeah.
And I think they do offer some more roles with some of the expansions and expansion characters.
Yeah.
But again, that's not in the base game. That requires additional investment.
And the investment piece is kind of what... I mean, I realize that we're not big on money and we don't try to bring that up, but I mean, I'm going to bank on the idea that judging from the size of the box, this is probably $100.
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely around that range, probably 100 to 120 Canadian.
Yeah. So I, with that kind of value, do I really want to say to somebody, hey, like, you only have 4 or 8 scenarios that you can play. You only have 4 characters and they only get built this way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate. It doesn't make me like it any less, but it is something
it's
a good chunk of money.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I'm basically
done with my.
So, yeah, I mean, we're.
Justin, did you have anything you
want to
say?
We should comment on the Overlord board because it has not come up yet.
Well, I think the Overlord board is just way too complicated to go over here.
It's not.
Or just opinions on it, just opinions, like general. We don't need to pick it apart bit by bit. But.
Yeah, I guess I'll just. So, the way the Overlord board works, it's similar to the hero boards where you have your own gems. And you have to spend them on doing anything on your turn or as a response. But the main thing about the Overlord board is what they call the river. So there's 8 spaces where you can put down a character tile. And whenever you activate a character tile, you pick it up from where it is and you put it at the very end of the river. So you could activate units multiple times in a row, but it might be just crazy expensive to do it the second time. And because there are 8 spaces on the tile, each space has a cost in gems. So 1 through 8. So you want to kind of balance alternating your units. And maybe when you really need to do some damage, just spending all your gems just to activate something that isn't quite in the right spot.
Right. In the order, in the natural progression. Yeah. The river, to me, is the most interesting part of this game. And, like, the way that the Overlord functions, but again, with a strong emphasis on that river.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is what actually sets this apart from a lot of other similar style games.
Yeah, definitely, because you don't get to activate everything on your turn. You have to choose 2 units, and you have to kind of think carefully about how much you want to invest in that character to how much you're going to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a fun little mechanic when you're playing as the Overlord, because it gives you, you know, just something that you can just sit there and ponder over.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's cool from the hero's perspective too. Cause like there was a few times when I knew that it was unlikely that Justin was going to go for a particular thing that I saw as sort of a danger because I thought it was really expensive for him and he just wasn't going to go bother with it. It's like, yeah, he could attack with all of his archers like twice, but that's like if he misses, he's basically fucked, right? Like he loses all of his gems go off to the side and he doesn't get all of them back every turn. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't think he's going to do that, but it is like there's nothing stopping him, just like there's nothing stopping me from like spending all 5 gems on trying to do 1 attack, or what Debbie kept asking if she could do is just like spending all of her gems on hucking a spear over the bow of the ship and trying to kill the guy in 1 shot, which like,
I mean, that would have been a perfect movie moment though.
Yeah. I dissuaded her from it, but like, it would have been fucking sweet if it had worked, but like
dissuaded me like 4 times.
Yeah. Seriously. Like even to like, we were 1 turn away from winning. It's like, no, we just need to sit. It's like, what if I just throw a spear at this guy? I was like, no, just fucking sit there.
Just survive.
All you have to do is get through this.
But I think that was partially a downside to my character. And I think that was part of the reason why I give that criticism to say, I wish that like I'm with Tom. I wish you could almost progress your character a little bit, because I didn't have the greatest ability to do damage, but I also didn't have the greatest ability to defend myself. So I wasn't really like, I was sitting in this really gray area, and I think that was it, right? Like I wanted to get maybe a little bit of excitement. I wanted to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
I want to kill some people. And you wandered off to.
Then you need to be Conan pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing is like, you just, oh, you want to just kill people? I guess you're just Conan this time, right?
Yeah. If you want to support people and command your troops, then, you know, Bleat's better.
Yeah.
If you want to be all sneaky and throwing knives, be Shevatos. If you want to cast some incredibly expensive spells, you can be Hadrathus.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Yeah. The guy that we never played.
We never used him.
Yeah.
Well, he was never recommended. Like in all the ones where it was like, if you have an Overlord and then 3 players, it's just use don't use the wizard.
you would use him in the first scenario with four, but just in the other ones. And the other ones also featured, the other two we play featured Belit.
Oh, okay.
She was kind of the starring role.
Yeah.
And the other guys were just kind of her.
Did you feel like you had a starring role?
No, I actually felt, especially in the first one. I felt really weak in the first one. I was not the biggest fan of the first in the pirate ship one because it was like...
Well, your first turn was also like, I'm going to go open this box, and then you got annihilated by arrows. And you're like, well, not and doing you, that
you
again. Walk,
yeah. You walked away from your royal guard and opened a crate.
But I did get a fucking wicked ass bomb.
Oh, that was a really good bomb. Yeah, that was nice.
That was a really good bomb.
Blew up the shit out of four people. And I think that's like, that's the typical Debbie thing. I hate to admit this. Jeez. So typical Debbie. I get a taste for blood. I'm like, I want more.
So really the problem was that you killed too many people in the first couple minutes and you were just like, is this how it's going to be the whole time? This is great. Right, I love this.
The problem is that Debbie is a vampire. Just... gets this, like, just starts fiending for blood.
It's one of those things where, for me, it's funny because Adam and I have had this conversation numerous times where you often find people that are very polar to one type of game versus the other. Adam has yet to be able to be like, you know what, this is the kind of game that Debbie likes. And that's because I kind of bobble between the two major sides quite regularly, because if I'm playing a game where...
What are the two major sides?
Sorry? Between the Euro game and the Ameritrash game. Like, that big, like, do I like the big thinking game versus the I want to kill everything game?
The excitement.
Yeah. I love the big thinker games.
Give it to me.
But let me tell you, the second you bring in just a little, like, a taste of that, I get to kill something, I'm like, I want more. And it's not because I don't like the other game. I'm just... there's certain games that I think do it really well for me. And I'm a really hard one to peg for Adam. He looks at games and he's like, would Debbie like this? I don't know. And then I'll hate it. And he's like, what are you talking about? So that for me was a big struggle in this, because it was like, I did so much damage right away, but it wasn't me that did the damage. It was the fact that I picked up this
grenade.
Bomb. Yeah. And I mean, my character, did not have the ability to do that kind of damage. Like, it just wasn't going to happen.
No one did.
No. I mean, Conan was about as close as it got. Yeah. There's Tom and his...
Woo, flexing.
Muscles.
Yeah, sure.
His amazing Conan muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Tom, put your shirt back on.
Oh, dear God.
Absolutely not.
No!
It's so white. It's so pale.
Nonetheless, what do you guys think for scoring? Review scoring?
I'm having a bit of a struggle because I liked this game. I really like the concepts in it. I think the Overlord mechanics seem to make it more fun for that person than it does in other games like this. But I don't think it's as fun for me as some of those other games. Like, I remember playing Descent, and you can just make some, like, busted-ass heroes. Imperial Assault has that, like, campaign thing, which gives you a little bit more investment into what's going on. And also, if you like Star Wars, it's just good. A little bit more characterization in some of those things. Like, you get to feel like you're the hero. I never really got into... you know, feeling like a, what is he, like 280-pound muscle-bound freak show, right? Like, I don't feel like I've made this character. This character is just there for me to inhabit for a little while and do some sweet damage. So I feel like I like those games better because I'm more invested in them.
Yeah, is it kind of the difference of playing Conan or being Conan?
Right, like I'm playing Conan and I get to do some really cool stuff, but because of the way the scenarios work... you don't always get the items that really unlock Conan. Depending on where you're playing, you get to do things like smash through walls or leap over stuff or climb hills and stuff like that, or do some really neat stuff. Depending on the scenario, that just doesn't happen, which is kind of nice as well, because like, yeah, I think this is good as a one-off type game. Like, let's get together and play Conan. And like, I think the Overlord probably has more fun in this than in like Descent or Imperial Assault, although Imperial Assault also has like the guy who's running it basically makes up like the story as you're going, right? Like, they pick which missions you're going to go to, so they are also quite invested. So I miss a lot of that, but I think it's probably a keeper for me just on the like mechanics alone. Although like, again, it's probably on the fence. Like I think I'd rather play Imperial Assault or Descent over this. And also those two are not super problematic and come from a...
Would Descent like just the base or Descent with the campaign?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the second edition is like, okay, to be honest. So I don't know. I can't answer that.
All right. Just wondering.
And those games aren't, as far as I understand, super racist. So, I mean, or come from a basis of like, you know, really old novels where all the sorcerers are Eastern witches from the Orient.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you explain that away? We're following the source material. Like, just maybe just don't. Maybe just don't.
That's why they did change that in this version. Like, they are just necromancers, not from anywhere. They're just necromancers,
yeah,
or dark sorcerers.
But yeah, I think it's probably a keeper on the mechanics alone. Like, if I think this is a little bit easier to explain and get people into than some, I don't know. It's on the fence for me, I guess. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
I guess it's on the fence. You probably wouldn't be considering picking up expansions, like investing more into it.
If I got through all the scenarios and had a group that was willing to play this all the time, like, I mean, maybe, but I'd probably go through the fan ones first. Okay. I mean, now you're starting to make me think that I'm on the wrong side of this, that I should get rid of it. I like mini games so much. You get to huck axes at people.
Yeah. I mean, hucking axes is pretty great.
I'll make you feel better about it.
But I am a sucker for miniatures games. And
I know.
So
plastic toys.
But there's also like tits on the rule book, and I don't really want to have to explain that to my son.
But really, what are the chances of you bringing this forward as a game to your son prior to the need to really explain that? Do you know what I mean?
I'm not locking the door. He's going to get at this at some point.
Yeah, but I know.
I mainly said that as a joke.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
All right, carry on.
Moving on. Sorry. And now for something completely different.
No, I mean, I'll make you feel better about it. Like, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5, actually.
Oh, shit.
I'm giving it a, like, if you have the opportunity to play it. Because I think, for me personally, and you guys may think differently, it's a different wrapper. So, yes, Conan has some sexist sides to it, but it's a different wrapper.
You're right. He really should put on not, a shirt.
Yeah, I know. It's not... It's not Star Wars. It's not aliens. It's not zombies. Like, it's not the same garbage all the time. And I don't mean to offend anybody with that, but Conan, for me, really weird. It's kind of a bit of a breath of fresh air. It's a little different wrapper. So for me, I kind of like that. For me, it's a little different, and that makes me kind of a little happier. As long as you have somebody like Tom said earlier, you have somebody in your team or your crew that's willing to take on that role of
punching bag.
Yeah, the punching bag. I mean, the one person that's kind of on their own.
It's less punching bag and more just like feeling picked on. Because yeah, like, I think Justin probably could have done something a little different and kicked the shit out of us.
Absolutely. But it's one of those things where it's like you kind of, as that person, you don't have anybody to bounce your thoughts off of. The second, you know, he tries to do something to us, it becomes you're so much more powerful than us. You have all these monsters and you can do so much more damage than we can individually do.
And it can definitely, sorry to interrupt, as a player, like on the other side, you can feel picked on. Like, I know that's happened a lot in the Imperial Assault games I played as the Overlord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes I have to kill somebody because you're either the only target or you're the guy I need to kill because you're about to win the game. Like, yeah, I have to try to focus on you, but that can also make you feel really shitty as the player.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of those things where as long as you have somebody kind of in your group, I'm not going to call it a crew anymore. As long as you have somebody around that's willing to actually take on that piece, that's cool. So I give it a 4. If you're, you know, if you have the opportunity to play it, cool mechanics. The box art's cool. I mean, it's like they didn't just cheap out on it. They've put a bunch of minis in there. There's lots of like a good production value in it that I like. So I'm here to make you feel better, Tom. I give it a 4 out of 5, my friend.
I appreciate that.
What do you think, Adam?
I'm going to echo a few things that Tom said. When I played this game, I figured out what this game was, I didn't know anything about it coming in. I knew nothing. Obviously, I know who Conan is. And when Tom said that when he played this, he kind of brought back memories and thoughts of playing Imperial Assault or Descent, I'm like, yes, yes, let's get some Descent up in here. And it just Descent has its flaws, just like all board games, all board games have their flaws. Everyone's going to have an opinion and be like,
except Catan. Yeah.
Oh my God. Except Gloomhaven.
So you and I are taking two very different approaches on this.
I was trying to see how many furrowed brows I could get in one sentence.
at the end of the day, I thought the game was good. It's good. I think that you'd get more out of it if you were in the Conan fandom already. For me, I think if I had to choose between Conan and Descent, I'm going Descent 99 times out of 100.
Would you go just the base box of Descent, or are you talking about Descent as a whole with all the expansions?
I like how Justin keeps digging for the Descent thing.
Well, it's more just like because like a lot of these games, like even myself, like playing some of these games and thinking back to it, like I've put a lot of money into Imperial Assault.
Sure.
And maybe it doesn't, I don't know anymore if it holds up as well as just the base game.
Oh, okay.
So because there are expansions to this. So I'm just wondering, like as a base game or just as a concept?
I would play base game Descent, second edition over Conan 99 times out of 100,
right.
And then as you add expansions and that onto it, I mean, that just further solidifies it my eyes.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you add the Road to Legend thing where now all of a sudden the game, like the game master or the overlord or whatever you want to call him is played by, like a computer.
Yeah. The app.
Then that even further solidifies it for me. So, I mean, it's just, this game's good. Like at the end of the day, I give it a 7. Like it's a good game. It's not a bad game, but if I want to play a game in this style, there's like a place that I will go instantly before coming to Conan. And that's why I give it a 7. Like it's not because it's a bad game. It just, if you are a member of the Conan fandom, if you are a Conan lover, then you know what, this is probably the game for you over Descent.
Yeah.
So is it a rapper thing? Like, is it a theme?
The theme doesn't do it for me. Like there's stuff I like about Conan. There's stuff I do like about Conan. Like I said, the fact that it's not just grid, the fact that it's like
a more organic board.
Yeah. That is brilliant. And I like that. And I'm a huge fan of that. The Overlord board is interesting. When I did have the opportunity to play as the Overlord, I thought that being the Overlord and the options that the Overlord has and the strategy that the Overlord has was probably one of the best moments of the game. Even though, I mean, sure, there's the whole like picked on thing. It doesn't bother me. So like, I don't mind playing an all against one game. I'm just going to rehash the things I found confusing, like the spells. The spells were super confusing. The dice, I mean, I don't like dice. That's me. You can go ahead. You can hate on me for it. It's fine.
Okay.
That's it. It is a lot to do with theme. I think that theme probably does play a reasonable factor here as well. Yeah, 7 out of 10. Like I said, it's a good game.
It's decent. I mean, it's like a pretty good score. Review.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a decent game. It's just not one that I would reach for if I'm looking to play this style of game. Like I said, I'll go to Descent. That's it, second edition, because that's what I learned on.
Yeah. It's the only one you can find anymore, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah,
that's not true. You can find one
in your Descent basement.
First edition of my basement.
Ooh, that's gonna come up one day. Do you have both versions?
No, didn't go that far.
Okay.
Well, no one's played with me in a while.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Justin, what have you got for us tonight?
Well, I am going to respond to a little feedback, a little peer pressure.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be modifying my review.
This is going to fuck up somebody's spreadsheet in the future.
Oh, that's good. I hate spreadsheets.
All right.
Oof.
Well, I like messing. I do actually. I love a good spreadsheet, but I love messing with OCD. So, and it works out because I also own this game and will not be throwing it out, partially because of the amount of extras that me and my brother have already gotten for it. So, hey, but I really quite enjoy this. I've never actually played Descent, so I can't really comment on that.
What?
But I have played a lot of Imperial Assault, which I'm kind of told is the better version by some people. I mean, that also might be my Star Wars bias. But I think what I really like about this game is kind of the management aspect with the gems. Because you have to really think about, do I really want to run into that room and, you know, just kill everyone there and then have to just sit for a turn or two, just like, you know,
getting wailed on.
Yeah. Resting up and letting everything else coming in. So it kind of, you have to kind of, you know, can choose when you want to just spend all your energy on something. You know, it's going to be amazing, but it's also going to be, it's going to limit your choices for the next couple of rounds.
Yeah, and I really like that. The management is super cool. Like the gem thing is definitely like,
That is definitely great. That and the river for the Overlord, because it can influence how both the Overlord and the player plays, because they can see, you know, what's coming up next, what's a threat, you know, should we deal with that first or run away? So I think it makes it a lot more dynamic rather than, all right, it's my turn as the Overlord, I'm going to activate everything, or doing the alternate turns. Like it makes it a little more interesting, I find. And I like that. I enjoy the dice rolling. It's quite simple. Just the three different tiers of dice. There's a lot of ways to get some re-rolls in. And, you know, a little excitement from those dice. You get that natural critical.
Yeah, gambling.
But yeah. And I really like the art design on the maps and everything.
You like the naked women?
What does it? Well, I mean, everyone likes those. But I was more
naked women just on the boards.
No, I just art design. I thought.
Well, I meant on the maps themselves.
Oh,
that'd be really weird.
I'm just giving you.
That's why I said I like the art design on the maps.
Super odd. Like I said that I liked the art, so you can't really say
this scenario is taking place on someone's body pillow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Just because, like, I like the isometric style and the organic lines and everything.
Looks like a place, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a place, not a grid that you just slap down. My main quibble is there's a lot of tiny little symbols, and they do provide you with cards as quick references for each of those symbols. But, yeah, they're really, I don't think, need to be quite as many little abilities. And maybe it's just some future-proofing.
Because I agree. I think you're on the right.
Yeah, they do have, because a lot of the abilities listed on those cards aren't used in the base game. There are certain abilities that just don't exist. And that's because they had future stuff that they wanted to bring in, and they wanted all the quick references to allow it. So it is very daunting when you first open the board. There's also just tons of tokens that they future-proofed for their online release scenarios or for you to make your own. And so I like the future proofing, but the manual definitely needed to be a little more clear on certain things, because there are certain things that just aren't laid out right. But I don't know. That's kind of my problem with many manuals.
I think there's one thing to be said, though, is for, so because we had Justin here who has played the game before, we didn't have to dig into that rule book, right? And we didn't have to sit there and be like line by line, try to figure out the game ourselves. And so I think that probably has a lot to do with it as well. I think we probably would have more gripes if we did have to do that. So
definitely. I think the first time I played this with my brother, it took about an extra hour just to go through the rules and clarify things, an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Definitely one to go find a nice tutorial online to show you how everything works.
Or find some quick Yeah. Quick reference cards.
Because I think you're, like, the way you described it, like, you set everything up, and as long as the Overlord kind of knows what they're doing, everything works out pretty good, because it's like, yeah, you can do this and this and this on your turn.
You can act as, like, kind of an umpire.
You sort of fumble through it, and maybe, like, the Overlord goes easy the first time or whatever, but, like, you know, you got to find something online to show you what's going on.
Yeah, it's definitely not a game that you want to just bust out and learn with a bunch of people who aren't prepared for that. And I think that might have colored everyone's review differently if I hadn't known the manual already.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I think it would have gone a lot harsher.
Yeah, I agree.
But so that's just something I point out. But I will be definitely keeping my copy. If I were still doing my old review, which I'm definitely not anymore, I'd give it a solid thumbs up.
So you haven't actually even told us what the new review is.
Oh, I'm going in line with the would I keep it and would I recommend it, sort of with along with Tom. Like, would I keep this game if I had it?
Okay,
but I don't know.
Which he does,
which I do, and I will be. But
given the 300 or so or whatever, however big your collection is, like, is it worth?
Is
it worth a spot?
It's definitely
worth a slot.
I think it's definitely worth keeping, and if you like the source material, I think it's worth picking up. Just keep in mind that it is, even for a one-off miniatures game, it's still going to be about 90 minutes. So as long as you have a group that'll do that, have fun.
Do we have some plugs?
Okay, yeah. So again, my name is Adam. You can find me on twitch.tv/forthewin, forthewyn. Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff is @forthewin. Website forthewin.com.
We have an email in sorts, do we not?
Oh, absolutely.
Who knows that?
Not me.
It is collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com. That's our email address. You guys can send us anything you'd like. Well, not anything you'd like. I mean, come on. I will look
incoming
at them.
Dick pics.
Yeah, no. Please don't.
No. Please disregard anything said in this review.
Yeah. Send us your thoughts, any ideas, any games you guys think that, you know, we might like. Chances are Tom probably has it, or, you know, one of us does. Through the four of us, we got a pretty good collection.
We own a lot of board games.
We do. And we are also on Twitter, which is @CGSpodcast. Follow us there. You'll see every release day. I usually throw something out there.
Are we on Pinterest yet? Are we ever going to be?
Pinterest?
Isn't that the thing? Isn't that the thing that
you
all the kids
Instagram?
Are doing? Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. 4 years ago.
Instatrist.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all the same to me.
I think Instatrist is a completely different animal. Do not Google Instatrist.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good call.
Madison situation.
Yeah, Pinstagram.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay, so no, I have not put us on Instagram yet.
Curious.
That might come
be
with
cut?
Time. Yeah. So just the Twitter. You know, give us some feedback. Let us know what you guys like, what you don't like. I will bring it to the table as long as it's constructive and it doesn't hurt Tom's feelings.
I am a big baby.
What about my feelings?
Well, I don't know.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I was like, you're
it's
the guy
okay.
that
I
usually
don't have
stands
feelings.
Behind the board. So you're a little harder than us. But myself, I'm at Mrs. Wynn. You can get me on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, Tom.
If you need to get a hold of me specifically, you can use the email, or I'm on Twitter @TeamRageTom, @TeamRageTOM. And yeah, I don't have that many followers, so, you know, you can probably get my ear pretty quickly.
And Justin, what about you, Justin?
Well, if you need to access me, you can please use the listed
email?
Email.
Twitter?
Email and Twitter, yes.
Yeah.
Just send a... What is it? I think we've used dove in the past. I don't know. What would be more ridiculous? Albatross? Just tie a message to an albatross and send it.
Tie a message to a seagull and it'll find me.
A falcon. A falcon Ooh. Might, you know, get your attention a little quicker.
Yeah.
If a falcon starts dive bombing you,
I'm going to notice that one.
Yeah.
You will not be able to ignore that.
And don't forget reviews, guys. Tom, you know everything about reviews. I know nothing.
Yeah, I mean, just wherever you found this, please like and subscribe or give a 5 whatever highest review and leave some feedback there. If you leave a review, it might help us get noticed by some more people. Also, you know, This isn't going to go anywhere unless you share it with a friend or share it with somebody who you think might like it.
It'll make us all feel better.
Yeah,
absolutely. And next, I think we got Tom. What are we playing next week?
Let me pull the old ripcord on this bad boy. Jamaica
by GameWorks.
So
right on.
Listening next week for Jamaica.
Jamaican me crazy.
Jesus Christ.
The puns write themselves.
This is gonna be how it is for an hour next
Man,
week.
Man, get ready for the puns.
Join us for that.
Join us for an evening of puns.
Stay safe. Have fun.
Play more board games.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Bye.